Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junks live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We're now joined on the BetQL guest hotline by Chelsea Janes, national baseball writer for the Washington Post. Good morning, Chelsea. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing well. You're doing better, obviously, than Garrett Cole when he was flummoxed when he was asked about the spider tack and did he use it, did he not use it. Take us through that embarrassing fiasco of a performance by him, and how does baseball move forward with this, what appears to be a rampant cheating problem amongst pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like completely aside from baseball, I don't know what the Yankees communications staff was doing, because right. there are a million different ways to handle that, and all of them can be honest or avoid lying and also avoid looking like your Zoom screen froze. So I think like that to me is really baffling, and I don't necessarily blame Cole for that. To be honest, I actually don't really blame him or Bauer or anyone for any of this. I think it's really sort of audacious, frankly, on the part of the league to not enforce the use of sticky stuff on baseballs for decades, and then all of a sudden say, wow, this is a big problem, and these guys have to stop. And, you know, if there's also these lines like rosin's okay, and a little pine tar's okay, but you can't have the spot on your hat. And so, to me, like, the league just needs to make a rule and stick with it. And I think that's what Cole and Bauer have really said, is like, we'll obey the rules, but you're not giving us rules. So, it's just a mess. It doesn't have to be. And I think they can clean it up by just saying, like, here's what we're going to do and enforcing it consistently, and we won't be talking about this next year. But it's weird, and it's just – the whole thing is really unnecessary in my mind.
Yeah, I was talking
How
to –
How much a, of it – yeah.
Go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry. I was talking to a buddy whose son played minor league baseball for the Blue Jays, and he was a pitcher, and he said, look, it's for the grip. All right, it's for now. It certainly helps the pitcher control the ball and their spin rate, intensity, and that type of stuff. So it helps the pitcher, but it also helps the grip and the control. So, and all these guys were throwing 97 to 99. So it's also part of it is safety for the batters. So the guy was telling me, look, they've got to do it. You know, they got to have something on their hands, because over 162 games, there's going to be guys hit, and a couple of them are going to be hit seriously. We've already seen that, even though they're allowed to do it. What do you think baseball's going to do? You think they're going to allow one thing that can be touched on the ball? Or are they going to eliminate everything? What do you think they're going to do? Are they going to make an example of anybody?
It's a really good question. I mean, I do think that there's sort of already been examples made of Cole and Bauer, and I don't know. I'm not really sure what that's going to look like, but I do think that we've heard from a lot of players that, you know, we need them to have something sticky. And that's, you know, when it's cold, it's hard to grip the ball. When it's really hot, you're sweating, it's hard to grip the ball. And in a league where, like you said, you're getting promoted to the majors if you can hit 100, not if you can, you know, hit the strike zone. Like, that's really important that these guys aren't losing fastballs up at people's heads. You know, we saw Bryce almost take one to the face. He got lucky. Pilar, I mean, the list is getting longer. So I think there's something to that. And you've heard a lot of people in the game say, like, look, we'd rather have them have too much than not enough. And I think that's just the thing. I think baseball is just going to have to draw a line and say, look, we put a rosin bag on the back of the mound. You can use a little bit of pine tar, but you can't do X. So they're going to have to draw that line. And I think that's where it's going to get really, you know, sticky, so to speak. But there's no doubt that, like, people in the game want pitchers to have something to help them do this. And, you know, Pete Alonso from the Mets yesterday was like, look, I have a million different things that I'm allowed to use to hold on to the bat.
Right.
And if you took any of those away, I'd throw the bat. So it really is a fine line. And I think, unfortunately, baseball is not super great at nuance, but I think they're going to have to figure out where to draw that line, draw it, and then not look back.
Where did this come from? I mean, I'm just barely paying attention. And then, I mean, I know Donaldson brought it up, but I mean, did this come from the players? Did this come from the league office? Because this sort of just seems to have come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I think Trevor Bauer really gets a lot of credit because he started talking about this in 18 and kind of throwing things at the Astros, as Trevor Bauer does. And, you know, for once, I think that he is sort of on the pulse in that, like, he said, he's basically saying, I'm going to use it until you draw a line, but you should draw a line. And maybe that's a little bit of an arsonist saying, you know, come put out the fires I'm starting. But I think it's like he really opened up the conversation and said, you know, pitchers are no longer using this just for grip. You can get an advantage from it. Like, look, I'm going to show you how much of an advantage you can get from it. And I think he's been one of the big beneficiaries. So I think that's sort of where it came from. And then Donaldson talking. And frankly, like, the lack of offense has everyone sort of looking around. And MLB said in March, we're going to take a look at this. We're going to see how much this contributes. And I think, you know, from a league perspective, it's sort of them stirring the pot and saying, hey, like, here's something that we can fix that the players are doing, you know, to deaden offense, like, set aside the fact that we deadened the ball and did all these other things. It's just something that, you know, I think they feel like is easy to fix, or at least something they can fix to correct the imbalance that in some ways they've created.
So we talked to Rizzo every Wednesday and talked to him yesterday about the lack of runs. Now, last night they scored. You know, they scored 9, which is good. They're going to win. They needed that, and they got Max tonight against the Giants here. And, you know, he basically just said, look, we're getting guys on base. You know, our team batting average is near the top in the league, on-base percentage near the top in the league, but they just can't get the big hits. And, I mean, if you look at the lineup, you're obviously aware of Turner and Soto, and Zim's been hot too, but he's not playing every day. But there's really no other bat that really scares you, and it's because they just can't get that big power hit and hit that 3-run bomb, and they're struggling to score runs. And, you know, we're 60 games into the season, Chelsea. I don't know. You think it's going to change? I mean, you can't get too far back here. I mean, they're 7 games back. Probably not going to win the division based on the injuries, especially to Strassi. But what can they do?
I think they just have to hang in there. You know, the problem is, like, they're 7 games back to the Mets, who are just absolutely destroyed by injuries, which means they have not been playing at their full strength and are going to get better. You know, Noah Syndergaard is on the horizon there. You know, Brandon Nimmo, Michael Conforto, like, that team is going to get better. So I think the Nats just kind of have to hang in there. And the problem, like you said, is, like, I don't know where you get help. I don't know where you're finding that extra push, because I don't think you can justify sending away more prospects at the deadline if you're just kind of on the cusp of potentially contending. So, you know, I think that something that's hurt them is, like, they definitely counted on Robles, like, becoming a guy, you know, a guy you can rely on to give you a lot of different stuff offensively. I think they thought Carter Kieboom would evolve into sort of a solid player, and then your lineup's a little bit deeper. And, you know, that there's just a, you know, everybody just didn't quite pan out or hasn't quite panned out yet. Josh Bell, Kyle Schwarber, we've seen them help, but they haven't been consistent. It's just like, I feel like they just need sort of one more bat, and guys they were counting on to be that haven't been that. You can't play them every day and expect him to produce like he produces when he plays once in a while. So I think they just kind of have to scratch and claw and hope things fall apart ahead of them. Cause I just don't see where the savior's coming, even if, say, Soto, you know, explodes like he probably will.
You know, you mentioned Carter Kieboom, and I wanted to ask you about him. How big a disaster is that so far? I mean, they expected him to be legit.
Have you seen, like, his 10 stats? Years. Have you seen his stats at Rochester?
Yeah, dude. Last I saw, it was like 190.
He's hitting 235 right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a big disappointment for them. And I, they've been really lucky in a lot of ways that they've had these elite talents that have been sort of no-brainers. I mean, whether it's Rendon, whether it's Soto coming, I think, from A-ball, you know, to the majors and doing what he's doing, you know, there have been a lot of prospects that have really panned out for them, and that's not easy to do. But recently there have been some that just haven't been able to figure it out. And whether that's Carter Kieboom, whether that's needing to trade Lucas Giolito to give him a fresh start because it wasn't going to work in D.C., like something is there with a few of these big-name prospects that it seems like they're just getting in their head a lot. Whatever it is in the national system, that they're not able to sort of break out of that. And I think that that is a cause for concern, and it's hurt them. It's definitely hurt them. And I don't, you know, maybe Kieboom recovers. You know, he's still really young. We sort of expect everybody to figure things out the first time because of Soto and Harper and all these other guys. But you know, I think they planned on him this year in a way that it's been really kind of noticeable when they didn't have him.
Joined by Chelsea James, national baseball writer for the Washington Post. So let's skip forward a month. Say the Nats are still 7-8 games out and then the trade deadline is looming. Do you see a scenario where Mike Rizzo would deal Max Scherzer for like a huge package of players and picks to improve the team, or is Max stay put here?
I think that's, you know, the however many million dollar question, because there is nothing in Nationals history that says they would pull the trigger on a deal like that. There's also nothing in their history that's really comparable, I think, to what they are facing this year, which is a team that probably isn't playoff ready as it is, a farm system that is absolutely depleted from top to bottom. And sort of the idea that, you know, they've got an aging pitching staff, like this team is not going to emerge as an NL East champion next year and the years beyond if they don't sort of remodel a little bit. And so I think that there is a real justification to trade a lot of these guys at the deadline and see if you can get back a couple of names that really kind of restock your system and jumpstart, not a rebuild, but just kind of jumpstart you moving forward. But they've never done that. I mean, I remember the deadline where we thought they might trade Harper and they just could not pull the trigger late that night. Right. And so there's no history of saying, like, we're going to do this. And I think they're optics concerned too, right? Like, I think they would love for Max to hit some milestones this year and try to get him to re-sign and just be a Nat for the rest of his career. Whether Max wants that or not, I don't know. But I just don't think there's any history that suggests that they'll do it. But I think that all the signs point to the fact that they should.
It's going to be interesting. All right, so let's jump forward to tonight. Okay, they're playing the Giants, and if you would have told me the Giants would have a two-game lead over the Dodgers and Pods 60 games into the season, I would have said you're insane, but they do. I don't know where this Buster Posey came from, because we thought his career was pretty much done. Kevin Gausman was a disaster in Baltimore. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. Brandon Crawford, probably going to be an all-star. I don't know how they're doing it, but they got the best record in baseball. But you got Max tonight. First of all, do you expect a lot of fans, because they're open for every seat's open for business? Do you expect a lot of fans? And then how do you think Max pitches against the Giants tonight?
I would hope there'd be a lot of fans. You know, whatever the Nats record says, I think people are sort of appreciating the fact that they can be out and about. But as we know, the weather's pretty gross. But hopefully this weekend is a fun one in that way. I think people will be excited to be out there. And I've heard a lot of people that are going that haven't been yet this year and stuff like that. The Giants are sort of what the Nats could have been. You know, they're a veteran lineup. They added sort of cheap starting pitching and bet low on guys, and they came through. And, yeah, they're pretty stunning. I feel like Max should be able to navigate that lineup. It's a lot of familiar faces, people he knows how to pitch, people he's seen a million times. I think the problem for the Nats is, like, if he is average, then they're in trouble. And I think that's sort of the story of the year. But I think, you know, it'll be a telling series for them. They kind of hung in there against the Rays, who are a lot better than people think. So if they can come out of this with a split or something, I think that's really good for them.
Chelsea, thank you as always for the time. Chelsea James, national baseball reporter for the Washington Post. Give her a follow on Twitter if you're not already, @Chelsea_James. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. When we come back, we're going to pivot away from the Washington Nationals and Major League Baseball. We'll tell you who the top 10 quarterbacks went under pressure in 2020. And the guy at the top of the list, he may surprise you. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I still haven't looked at the John Madden photo because I just know it's going to be too depressing.
Just look at it, Kate.
I mean, maybe a bit later. I don't want to be depressed right now, okay?
It's so, Ronnie Lott visiting him in the nursing home. He's sitting on one of those, like walker chair things.
Yeah.
You know, so you could walk,
yes,
walk on it
talking about,
with
yes.
the brakes, or you could just park it and sit on it.
Yes.
No, come on, Kate.
No. I'm going to save that for later. But what I'm looking at right now is making me a little bit giddy.
What's
it's
that, right?
A top 10 quarterbacks when under pressure in 2020, according to NFL Next Gen Stats.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the parameters of this list were quarterbacks had to attempt at least 250 passes last season, and I'm not sure what this means. It's way above my head. And have a positive completion percentage over expectation, whatever that means. Right. That's for all the analytics nerds.
Hold on, I'm going to throw out a name. You tell me if he's the top guy. Okay.
No, that's what you want
to
do.
I'm going to go 10 to 1.
Oh, okay. You're going to go down the list.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 10 to 1. The way the list should be done.
Well, I was going to make a little bit of a bit out of it, but go ahead.
Okay.
That's all right.
You know what?
No. Go ahead. Go 10 to 1.
We got dueling bits here.
All right. No, it's not really.
So at 10. Justin Herbert comes in from the L.A. Chargers, rookie.
Okay.
At number 9 is Derek Carr from the Raiders.
Right.
At number 8, this guy makes sense because he's got the wheels. Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
This one's a little surprising, but, I mean, he's a vet. He's been around forever. Matt Ryan comes in at number 7.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
And you mentioned, again, by the way.
Why is that surprising? He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think Cakes is kind of in a box where he thinks that the quarterback has to be mobile. Doesn't necessarily mean that.
I don't think they necessarily have to be mobile, but I think that helps. It helps to have that element.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that that's factoring in on this. As you mentioned, Cakes, it's, you know, the completion percentage over expectation is the stat that we don't quite understand.
Right.
So they're basing it on when they're under pressure, their completion percentage, and then their completion percentage over expectation and their passer rating in those moments. I don't know.
I'm surprised that Justin Herbert is 10 because you would expect the veterans to be
right
to dominate the list.
Well, I mean, the next three names
had a hell of a year.
Next three names are chock full of vets. At 6, Andy Dalton comes in. At
that's
five,
not one you would think not, in the top 10.
But he's there. He's there at number 6. Number 5 is Big Ben. Okay, makes sense. Been around forever. I mean, he's not very mobile, but and especially the way that offense was catered to him.
Well, I was going to say, quick passing, quick passes, can definitely help.
You know, his arm was banged up. He wasn't going downfield as much. That makes sense.
And that's what they mentioned about Big Ben. He got the ball out quicker than anybody in the league last year.
And they had no
2.3 seconds.
They had zero running game to rely on, so it was all on his arm. Now you're top four. Aaron Rodgers comes in at four.
Mm-hmm.
Makes all the sense in the world. Lamar at number three. Lamar comes in at number three from the Ravens. At number two is Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And at number one, top 10 quarterbacks when under pressure in 2020, come on down, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The bearded wonder.
Yeah. Look at that,
his
EB.
Passer rating.
Look at this.
His passer rating under pressure, 98.6. Yeah. His completion percentage, 62%.
Very
now,
impressive.
Here's the thing that's scary about it. The year before, he had a 49 passer rating, and his touchdown interception ratio was 2-8 in 2019.
Right.
So he completely turned it around in 2020.
Yeah.
So that's the scary red flag about it.
There wasn't a guy on that list that had a completion percentage over 60 besides Fitzpatrick. Everyone else was in the high 40s to mid 50s, which is very surprising and impressive.
Right. I mean, it just shows you. Now, he also benefited from fewer starts than most of those guys.
That's true.
He only started seven of the nine games.
Right.
But he had at least their minimum of 250 passes attempt.
Because he likes to sling it, EB. That's why he had the 250. It's why he hit that number. Likes to spread it all over the place.
They say he was even better, Cakes, in crunch time. He had a passer rating of 112.9 when under pressure in the second half or in the overtime of games. Now, here's what's interesting, though, you were talking about being mobile, and we've all seen Fitz is surprisingly mobile.
He's got decent wheels, yep.
For whatever reason, in these instances, his average evaded pressure rating was zero. So they say he wasn't good at getting out of pressure situations. But running-wise, I guess, which is kind of strange. Because he is a somewhat mobile guy. So that didn't factor in. But his high completion percentage, his high quarterback rating, and the fact that he was 4-2 touchdowns and interceptions in 2020 got him the top spot.
And his
if he could duplicate that, that would be huge.
113 passer rating when under pressure in the second half or in OT of games. So late in games and close games, tight games, he had a 113 passer rating.
Right.
Kind of shocking.
Yeah. But
the numbers don't lie. I mean, obviously there are some metrics where he was obviously better than other quarterbacks.
I mean, in limited starts over the last three seasons, to lend some credence to his rushing ability, he's got two rushing touchdowns, 4 and 2 in the last three seasons. And I think it's more out of necessity than obviously being any sort of scripted, RPO type stuff for him. But
no, for sure. But he definitely has some ability to him. There's no doubt, Cakes. I'm not denying it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he just got a zero on that in 2020. What I think is interesting, and Valdez should be super thrilled about it, if you take any credence in these numbers, is Lamar Jackson being third. Because I just wouldn't put him... I'm sorry, I disrespect him still as a passer, but under pressure, he had a hell of a year last year to rank third in the NFL under pressure.
Surprises me not at all.
Yeah.
You're not vexed one bit by that.
Now, not a shock, he was third in the league in evading pressure with a rate of 21%, right? With those wheels, that he's going to be highly ranked there. But he had a passer rating of 91 and a completion percentage under pressure of 55.6%. However they come up with their over-expectation rate, he was the highest in the NFL. So he completed passes at a higher rate, better than anybody in the league under pressure. pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I am surprised by that. I would not expect him to be in the top five, let alone number three. Russell Wilson, that makes sense to me. You know, that guy just, I think he can perform under any circumstance.
The outlier to me on this list is Andy Dalton at number six.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess he's just, you know,
he's a vet.
He's a savvy vet. He can get rid of the ball when he has to and go to the right spot. He's not flashy.
The game kind of slows down for guys like that because they've been in those situations forever.
They say in 2016 he actually had a very good rating, too, under pressure. So, he's played a lot before, as you say, and he's seen it all. So, I mean, Dalton has had his moments. He just doesn't have any playoff success.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly had moments in the league. The Red Rifle.
The Red Rifle. Look, the A topic every Monday in the fall is going to be obviously how the team did and what the win-loss record was, and then how did Fitz play?
Is it going to be like,
and what was his impact?
Is this going to be the like A topic? Kirk version 2.0, where every week's a referendum on,
I think so,
on Fitzy? Is that the way it's going to work out
on this show?
Well,
Bobby,
it's not like it always is in DC. Always is in DC with that quarterback. But it's not like they have a Trey Lance waiting in the wings. I mean, I know on some level there's a huge Taylor Heineke fan club, but that's always the case with the backup quarterback in DC.
Right.
But it's not like you got a top three draft pick just sitting there waiting in the wings. So it's just going to be standard.
I want to see Taylor Heineke holding a clipboard all 17 games. I don't want to see him on the field once. Because that just means something bad has happened with our guy, EB, with Fitz.
Although, Cakes, the difference will be, you know, this year, I mean, everyone knows Fitz is not the future at the position.
Sure, of course.
And with Kirk, you thought, okay. Right. And with Kirk, you thought, okay, this is the guy. You drafted him in the fourth round, same year as RG. He's the future. And you're going to sign him to a long-term contract, and eventually, you know, they did the franchise thing for a couple of years. But, you know, Fitz is obviously not the future at the quarterback position.
Right.
He might only be here 1 year. But he's still going to be the A topic every Monday morning.
I think Rivera is secretly, like, behind closed doors, he's praying that Fitz performs well and that he's able to just extend his deal another year. That he doesn't have to jump into that quarterback pool yet.
Yeah, I understand.
Like, he gets to lean on the vet.
Yeah, and obviously next year's draft class won't be as strong as this year. So,
right.
You know, if he has a bad year, you might have to go in another direction, either as, you know, one of your backups, or you trade for somebody, or you sign somebody. You might not be able to draft your future quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if you wind up winning 9 or 10 games, which, you know, most people think this team will be in the mix for, you're not going to be picking, you know, top five, top seven. You'll be picking at 17, 20, 22. And generally, you're not going to find your you know, franchise savior in that sort of range in the NFL draft. I know it happens. It has happened. But you want to be picking in the top 10, top five to get that guy. And I just don't see them doing that anytime soon.
So the guys on that list, you know, most of those not surprising, but there were a few, and certainly Fitzpatrick being tops on the list, very surprising.
It is surprising.
You know, I mean, I did not expect it. I would have thought Rodgers, Wilson, you know, one of those guys. And he had a really good year. Limited, half the year, but he had a really good year in 2020.
Does it rankle drab T-shirt that Fitz is one spot above his guy, Dangerous?
Well, when you play a quarter of the games. It's clearly
it's like being on feathers.
It's like, you know, being the batting average leader had seven at bats in the season.
He qualified due to the parameters of the whatever set they ran.
You're just searching so bad to find something positive about it. I mean, what does that stat even mean?
Not really.
I saw four mediocre quarterbacks on that list: Big Ben, Dalton, Fitzpatrick, and there was one more. It wasn't
Big Ben mediocre now, but he's going to the Hall of Fame.
No, but of course. But then we're talking 2020.
I understand that, but you can understand why he's top 10 because he's been good for 15 years.
I bet you would have been raving about this list had Fitz and Russell Wilson been flip flopped on it.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. I've pigeonholed myself into this anti Fitzpatrick camp.
Yes, you have.
So now
why don't you come over to
is
the
my
good
mic
side?
On?
Yes.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
good.
You're good. Drab, what? There's room for you with the good guys over here.
Well,
no,
I'm on Heineke's team.
Why?
Because he's going to be starting after the bye week.
You're a crazy person. He's not going to be starting after the bye week.
Drab's the type of person where he doesn't need to look at a list to validate his team's quarterback.
Is that what it is?
He doesn't need some sort of ranking
of
to know.
That we can look at.
Heineke will be the starting quarterback if Fitz has a torn ACL or torn Achilles. He's not going to be the starter.
Wait, Jason.
Or
we agreed
he's
on
catastrophically
this 2 weeks ago.
Awful.
What?
We agreed that it's possible that Fitzpatrick might get benched.
I know, but I think if you had a more established quarterback as your backup, yes. But I'm not sure they're gonna resort to Heineke as a backup. I mean, look, Fitz would have to be god awful for the first 5 or 6 games for them to do that. Just my opinion.
I agree. And you don't have to look at just this. He happens to be number one in 2020 on pressure. But I think also, where was he, Cakes? He was top 5 in QBR last year.
That's correct.
When you look at his numbers over the last 2 years, I think it's like 28-14 touchdown to interception ratio, like 4,500 yards passing. I mean, the guy's played at a high level the last couple years. That's it. There's more than one stat where you could see that.
The problem with him this past year was he had really good games and really bad games.
Yep.
And he's got to avoid those games where he throws one touchdown and throws 3 picks and they lose because of that.
Correct.
He'll probably do that a
Hopefully
couple times.
Hopefully he can tidy those up and have very few, if none of those games. But that comes with the Fitzpatrick experience. I understand it. Sometimes it's going to be a roller coaster ride. He's got to strap in and hang on and hope for the best. All right, when we come back, we'll do EB's entertainment page. What celebrity bragged that she was going to celebrate National Sex Day with an 80-minute session with her boyfriend? We'll tell you next on the EP.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, boys. Cakes teased it.
See if Silly you guys tease. Can Zilly guess. Tease.
See if you guys can guess.
Okay.
First of all, who knew that June 9th, yesterday, was National Sex Day.
I was unaware.
I didn't know that.
Valdez knew, apparently.
This is Matt Valdez.
Oh, I didn't know that.
How are you going to know that? I guess Twitter, people on Twitter are going to tell you.
I guess.
And if you're just uncontrollably horny.
Maybe that would be the reason, too. Yes.
So is she also a Weight Watchers endorser? She must be.
I don't know who you're talking about. Are we supposed to guess who this is?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I want you to guess.
All right, we're trying to guess.
So she's an actress.
She's the endorser of National Sex Day?
Well, she made reference to it.
Oh, okay.
And she talked about how she was going to earn.
Is that a dumb question? There's no endorser for National Sex Day.
Yeah, that was a dumb question.
You're
half listening.
Hey, account execs.
I was. You're right.
I would endorse that.
So here's the thing, though.
Along with many other products and days.
She was talking about earning her Weight Watcher Fit points on National Sex Day.
All right.
And apparently, you can get points based on your level of exercise or whatever.
You get points for poning.
She says she's going to have sex for an hour 20.
That's a long stretch, man.
An hour 20. Okay.
Okay.
Which I guess is equivalent to 6 Weight Watcher points.
Does she include like going out to dinner as foreplay? Is that included in the hour 20?
No, I don't think so. She says, if anybody needs me, I'm going to be in my bedroom for a good, I'm going to say hour 20 if he can handle it. Hmm. Hour 20. That's a lot of pressure.
I know Cake says he
can go a long time.
That's way too long.
I know 5 guys that can't handle it.
Yeah,
is this actress bald?
Yes.
Is she in her 40s?
Possibly.
Yes.
She's in her 40s. Yep. Okay. Do I like her work?
I don't know if you care about her work, but
she's
I'm
likeable.
Sure you like her.
Best movie,
she's a very likable person,
best movie
I think.
Or TV show she's been in.
I have a guess.
You can't give that away.
Can I throw my hat in the ring?
Sure.
Yeah.
My guess is Kate Hudson.
You nailed it.
How did you get it? How did you pull that?
Because I'm silly.
How did you nail that?
I don't know. I just went 40s. She seems kind of horny, like she's down for a good time.
Right.
Kate Hudson.
And she's been on The Guest. That was going to be one of my clues. She's been on the show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was on we were doing nights, I believe, back at Jim in
Hold
Fairfax.
On. She was a guest on this show?
Yes.
I mean, on the phone.
I do remember
that. What was she promoting back then?
Probably a movie.
Hopefully it was Almost Famous. Because
See, that was 2000. Could have been.
But put that in great movie?
No, was it that? It might have been Middays, Jason.
That's a great movie.
Okay, maybe it was Middays.
And I don't say that lightly. Almost Famous, starring Kate Hudson. Great movie.
Well,
now, has she done any movies lately in the last couple years of any note?
I'd have to look up her filmography.
I feel like she's more famous now just for dating rock stars.
She did, in 2021, something called Music.
All right.
But before that was 2017. Maybe she was doing a lot of TV.
So her boyfriend
she's taking the time off. I remember having her on the show because I talked to her about her mother, Goldie Hawn, who went to Blair High School.
That's correct.
With my mother.
She's a Blair Blazer.
Yeah, and I told Kate Hudson that, and she couldn't believe it.
Now, her boyfriend is Danny Fujikawa. Now, is he?
I don't know who that person is. This person.
Cakes,
yes.
What's your world record time?
How would I know that?
Roughly.
I don't know. I don't know. Are we talking about like straight poning? Are we talking about?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. 20 minutes?
Straight pone. How long?
20 minutes might be my max.
I thought you claimed you could go like an hour.
No.
Who was he, Sting?
Yeah, what am I doing? The
tantric
thing.
You used to claim that, Cakes.
I mean, maybe the session start to finish, like, with everything.
Taken out.
But that's an outlier. That's
for anniversaries.
That's when I was a younger man, too.
Right.
I mean, I am 50.
What's the time requirement now?
time requirement?
Yeah, like what is the window that you need?
There's no requirements.
If you had a window, like what's the minimum window, the maximum that you need?
I mean, do we have to put time stamps on everything?
Well, you got to go to sleep.
It's about quality, not quantity.
Yeah, quality. It's not
what
about
do you think, Cakes?
The length of the session.
I don't know. What is it about 15 minutes?
A typical set, like a normal session?
From start to finish.
15 to 20 minutes is a good, that's a good wheelhouse. Right. That's a perfect wheelhouse.
Very awkward discussion. Just thinking about Cakes doing that for 15
minutes.
It's
very awkward. I agree.
Right.
But sometimes the show gets awkward.
I have a question for you, Cakes. How often do you change up the routine?
Oh, that's got to be never.
Like, do you always do certain thing A and then a certain thing point B?
He's been to Kiowa for 19 straight summers.
I know. I'm guessing it's always the same. He hits the same points.
I can and do shake it up.
You do shake it up.
I guarantee you it's in the same location, though.
Oh, yeah. Always in the bedroom. Yes, that's correct.
Right. But you can shake up. You can sometimes do certain, like, D first and then do A third.
Yes,
like,
yes, correct.
Right, right. I'm just curious.
Oh, boy.
I'm very curious
about
Cakes.
What's the next story on your EP? What else you got?
Okay. Oh, okay.
He wants to move on.
So Kate Hudson is mega horny.
By the way, Kate Hudson is a dime.
Still trying to find out who based folk rock band Chief.
I told you, she's into the rockers. That's her whole deal.
I don't know anything about his band.
All right.
She's married to Robert Parrish?
Yes, she's married to the Chief. Good one. Double zero.
Valdez has sent me this story about Drake's mattress. Now, I would recommend a Sleep Number mattress.
Of course.
Clearly, that's what the junk truck
Sleep Number
recommends.
Bed, yes, we love them.
But he's gone a different route. Care to guess, Cakes, how much he spent for his mattress?
Oh, great. Another segment in the show where I'm going to feel like just a pauper. How much did Drake spend on his mattress? I'm going to say $250,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't know. He's setting it up like it's an exorbitant amount of money.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but if there's a mattress out there that's $250,000, I mean, I'm just floored.
$250,000. That's my guess.
How about he spent $400,000 on his mattress?
I underbid him.
Just on the mattress.
$400,000.
How much was the headboard?
It was made out of horsehair.
Gold.
And stingray skin.
That sounds so money.
And so we finally know where Mama Grizzly wound up.
Drake's bed.
Drake is sleeping on top of Mama Grizzly at this point.
Oh, my God.
Her final resting place, or his. I don't even know. Mama.
All right,
makes
Jason.
Mama. A female. Yeah.
You'll be interested in this. You may have seen this story. It went viral. Kanye West. Oh. Has a new girlfriend, apparently, now.
All right. Hint.
It is who? She's famous. I guess she's, I don't want to say what she does, but I will say that she's dated celebrities in the past.
Do you have any idea? That could be one of a million people. I have no idea.
All right. She's dated Bradley Cooper.
Oh, dated
Bradley Cooper fan.
All right. Because I don't know why she's famous other than I know her name.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
Isn't her name like Irina Shayk?
You got it. Cakes is on fire today.
I'm the king of the EP.
He's cheating. He's punching up. He's Googling.
No, I saw that yesterday.
On the Google.
Saw it on the Twitter yesterday.
She apparently is a supermodel.
Correct.
So yeah, she's been a supermodel. She was on the cover of SI Swimsuit many years ago.
Hottie.
Okay. Used to be Ronaldo's
girlfriend.
So she
doesn't act or anything like that?
No. She's like a Victoria's Secret model.
Her job's to look good.
Right. She acts like a smoking hottie.
All right. They say she's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit and Victoria's Secret bombshell.
I'm going to hang out with
and
these two
former Mrs. Bradley Cooper. Kanye just turned 44 yesterday, I believe. And they say, I guess he was photographed walking arm in arm. Now, she apparently has performed in some music videos of his in the past, and he's made reference to her before in songs. So he's known her for a while. But I guess now that he's single, he is, I don't know, maybe they're ramping it up a bit.
Jason, hitting it. EB probably hates Bradley Cooper because he was a mega Eagles fan in Silver Linings Playbook. Love the Eagles. Love Fly Eagles Fly.
I don't think I saw that.
Nuh-uh, you didn't see a popular movie.
Bradley Cooper
is a really good movie.
Cooper is from Philly, right? Isn't he from Philly?
I believe so.
He definitely went to Georgetown, Ricky.
He definitely did.
Yep.
And then last but not least, I know we talked about this before, but one of the guitarists for Megadeth was kicked out of the band.
Is that Dave Ellefson?
Dave Ellefson. Do you know why?
Oh, I believe there were some stories circulating about him having inappropriate contact with like a 15-year-old.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, apparently it was a 19-year-old, all right? But what happened is he and her, I think the way I read this, is they were being by themselves together over like Skype or something or FaceTime, and she leaked the video. So he is filing a revenge porn lawsuit over the deal.
Jason, do you prefer Megadeth, Peace Sells, But Who's Buying, or Countdown to Extinction? Which era do you prefer?
I wish Megadeth was extinct. How about that?
No, that's not very nice.
Was that the name of an
good
album?
Good answer, though.
It is not, but it is a funny answer.
Good answer.
EB, you entertain me as well as thousands of others, so we appreciate the entertainment page. When we come back, we'll be joined by Eric Edholm, NFL and NFL draft writer for Yahoo Sports, next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.